we could expand that to say, if we treasure the kingdom of God, then we would support it in radical ways. This business of the kingdom, this is what we're talking about in this study. What does the kingdom look like? Who are kingdom dwellers? How do we behave as kingdom dwellers? And how do we support the kingdom work?
Welcome to Study with Friends, a weekly dive into the questions and answers we find in the Bible, the church, and the broader Christian faith. I'm Paige, and currently we are on week 6 of an in-depth study of the Sermon on the Mount. This study is different in that it is an 8-week study with 5 daily recordings to help foster a deeper understanding of how we are called to act as citizens of Christ's kingdom. If you would like the homework to get more info or to listen to past episodes, you can find that and more on our website, studywithfriends.org.
Part of the big passage, Matthew 6:1-24, which is this week's focus. The last bit is Matthew 6:19-24, which is about treasures. And I said, I think it's a kind of about treasuring. What do we treasure? What do we prioritize? It's really a teaching on materialism. Before we even dive in, how do you think what we treasure impacts how we give?
If we treasured God, we would give more because we don't treasure what we have. We treasure who he is, and that would cause us to give more. So we wouldn't want to hold on to our stuff.
And if we treasure our stuff, we're not going to want to give it away.
You know, Kathy, I wonder if you just said something that really, I had thought about it this way, and I love it when that happens. You said if we treasure God, I wonder if you would agree that we could expand that to say, if we treasure the kingdom of God, then we would support it in radical ways. The reason I'm saying it that way is because God feels so out here. When you say, do I treasure God? What does that even mean? I mean, I'm here for it.
Yeah,
but this business of the kingdom, this is what we're talking about in this study. What does the kingdom look like? Who are kingdom dwellers? How do we behave as kingdom dwellers? And how do we support the kingdom work? Is that what you're going for? Yeah. So I think we developed giving. I think we did fine. So let's talk about treasure. Another word for treasure might be wealth. And I know we're thinking money, but wealth of a lot of things we should really be thinking. I mean, we are sitting in chairs. We have warmth. We have clothing. We have food. So wealth is a lot broader than money. Money is useful in purchasing the things that we need. But in a first world environment, we have a wealth of resources is another word that you might use for your treasures. And in fact, what are my personal resources? And just think wider than money. We need to pay attention to it, but I'd like us to go a little deeper. Kick it around. What are some resources that you think of? For me, time is a big one. I stole it.
As a retired person, that's the first one that comes to mind. So,
okay, what are some other resources we have? I'm looking at you because I'm thinking about how you prioritize your fitness, and your health is a resource. If I am healthy, I can do things that I can't do if I'm not healthy. Sure. Also, if I'm not mentally healthy. So how I might spend that mental health resource is helping someone who is experiencing depression. And I can give to you from my health. I can lean into you. What other resources do you have that come to mind?
I was thinking about expertise. Like, this is more of an issue for my husband because he has certain expertise in areas, and people always ask him, and he has to sort of be thoughtful about how he
distributes
it out.
That. Yes, totally. That's great. That's really good. I'm sure the doctors experience that. What are some spiritual resources that we have?
The Bible.
Wisdom. Mm-hmm. That you might have gained.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right.
Grace.
Yes.
Prayer.
Yes. To your point earlier about forgiveness, if I hold my spiritual resources and don't give from them, then I am in disobedience to what God is telling me about my resources, my treasures. So be thinking about that. Let's underpin it with a couple of scriptures, because I love to do that. Shouldn't just take my word for it. Let's hear what God has to say about it. So Carol, would you read this particular segment from Matthew 6:19-20? And then we're going to support it with some, I always like to pick one. Oh, do you guys notice that I do this? I always try to pick one Old and one New Testament passage because I think it's important for us to remember that the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Okay, so we'll do one OT and one NT. Okay, go ahead, Carol.
Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal.
Okay. So give me your rephrasing of that.
Focus on developing spiritual resources because those can never be taken away.
Okay, good. So I think that in that passage, Jesus is really redefining our, where our security comes from. Would you agree that's a fair reception of that text? Mm-hmm. That he's saying, don't store up mm-hmm. in this way. Instead, store up in this way. Don't find your security in this, not your own pantry, but my pantry. So, Kathy, would you read Job's take on this? And maybe we should tattoo it on our arms.
Job 1:21. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
So that is Job receiving. Actually, this was at the beginning of his journey. So it's in chapter 1. But it's Job understanding what matters and what goes away. Now, he's going to get tested, because those things that mattered to him the most were taken away. But he blessed the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes, blessed be the Lord. Everything I have belongs to him. Everything I have came from him. I talked about this when we did a study on our identity in Christ and how I really struggled with, like, everybody's like, oh, your identity should be in Christ. I'm like, it sure should. But I really didn't know what that meant. And then I figured out what it meant for me. What helped me was understanding that every single thing, the fact that I can speak to you with words that make sense, is a gift. I didn't earn that. I didn't do it for myself. The fact that I will get up from the study and walk upstairs and go about my day, and I will climb those steps with no problem, God willing, is a resource that he gave me. I didn't earn that. Some people were born without that ability, so I didn't earn it. And that's what came to me on, like, my whole identity. Everything that I am and do is because Christ said, yes, she shall be able to do this and that. And so it's the same here, that every resource that I have, everything that I am, it belongs to him first, and he gifted it to me. And so how we hold those things loosely is a whole nother ballgame, but understanding it is the beginning of wisdom. So the other supporting passage, I think, is 1 Corinthians 13:13. And let's listen for the things that abide to support your passage on the things that stay and the things that go. Cheryl, would you read that for us?
So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
What abides?
Faith, hope, and love.
And the shoes I bought yesterday, right? Also those shelves? No? Not my pants? No?
Invest in the things that will endure.
Right.
And moths will get those clothes.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Or thieves or whatever. Time. Time steals a lot. Like, this will not be as cute in 20 years if I wear it a lot. Right? So those things that can be taken or diminished or destroyed or decay, those aren't the things we should be spending our focus on. This is deep stuff. I'm just skimming it. What do you want to say about it?
Well, a physical representation, I think, for I would hope, at least for us in our generation, was our pandemic, when we lost a lot and we were like, what am I holding on to? What am I mad about? What am I losing sleep over? Right? I mean, those were all recalling what I held and I deemed to be the most important. Mm-hmm. And for me, leaving my house was really, really, really important. And that could be taken away at any time. I mean,
we didn't know that. We didn't even know that. No, we didn't think about that.
Never even considered it. Mm-mm.
It's the things that we take for granted.
Right.
So we should really look at the spectrum of it. The mm-hmm. things that we're aware of and the things that we're not even really aware of, that we're just taking for granted. And we're not thinking mm-hmm. about, how can I repurpose this resource right. for the Lord? Because it all comes from him. It should all go back to him. And if I'm right. if I'm only doing that in pockets in my life, then I'm stealing from him. I'm saying it. I'm not softballing this. I'm stealing from God if I'm not intentionally considering how all of my resources right. can be turned back towards him. So it says, do not store up. Well, does that mean that we shouldn't plan? What does that mean? Should we just wake up every day and hope for the best? Let's let scripture answer that question. Proverbs 6:6-11 speaks to it. But in the interest of time, I'm just going to have Carol read 1 Timothy 5:8, because it's super concise and it nails it.
But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Okay, so that's pretty clear. So how do we hold both of these things, that we should not store up, but that we should plan and provide? How do we reconcile that?
It's a pushback for me, because these things that we have, like even in this verse, it's to be a provider for others. So I'm not storing up for myself to provide in my retirement. I'm storing up to provide for other people lovingly that need the provision. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily even someone that doesn't need the provision, right? Not necessarily like, you know, for me, I want to say when I pass from this earth, do I have a chunk of money to give my kids? Maybe I shouldn't need to have a chunk of money to give my kids, right? They might not need the money that I provide.
So that's interesting. Here, you're drawing some lines in the sand, and I think it's an interesting thing for us to chew on, because another way to think of it might be, I am going to set some money aside so I'm not a burden to my children and they can take care of their resources. I think there is a balance between planning and giving. I want to tell you what I think, because it ends up, because I wrote this thing, that I sound like the final word, and I'd rather hear what you guys think about this balance. So this was good what you said. Are there gray areas? What are ways we could balance it? Like, are you saying you're not saving up for retirement because you're giving all your stuff away? You think that's the right thing?
No, okay. I'm saying there's a balance.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, how many excuses do I make to save up for a super comfortable retirement?
Perfect. Okay, good. That's good. Thank you for clarifying that.
I think underneath all of those things, you can't make a line or do this or don't do this. It always goes back to a heart attitude. Mm-hmm. Are we being generous with the things that God has given us? Are we holding it loosely? I think he gives us money to give money away to show that money isn't our God, but it doesn't mean that you're not careful either. So I think if you take all of those things prayerfully about concerns, Lord, show me, how do I do this? Because what I do doesn't mean Kathy has to do it the same way, but the same principles apply.
Exactly.
Generosity, not hoarding, holding things loosely, supporting.
Okay, so I'm going to key in on that, because the very first part of this, verse 19, says, do not store up. I think that phrase is important because it shines a light on why we would store stuff up. What are some wrong reasons that we might store up wrongly? So let's use that Galatians passage again. I love it as a sounding board. I'm teaching it a lot during this study. It's Galatians 5, starting in verse 19. So basically, it's these two lists. So I'm going to have you, I have you open to that. We're going a little off script. What I want you to tell me is, how does do not store up land if we look at that list as a litmus test? Okay, so I'll give you an example. There's here envy, jealousy. Okay, jealousy and envy are in this list of don't do it's. Okay, and love and peace are in the list of do it's. So if I keep my money or some resource because I think, well, I don't need it now, but I might need it later, instead of giving it to somebody who needs it, that's greed, right? So that could be envy or jealousy. Like, I'm not giving it to her because she already has enough. Well, I don't know what she has, right? So as a litmus test, what are some reasons we do not store up and reasons we do store up? What would be some ways that we can balance this spiritually?
Well, just not trusting that the Lord will provide. Like, I got to provide for myself, you know?
Right, control.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Fear.
Yes.
Fear. Idolatry.
Yes. Yes. Idolatry. Selfishness. That sense of security. Is there a better word for the one you were saying? Because I said security, but maybe.
You said control. I think distrust was the one I was thinking of. And I think that was the same lines that you were saying.
Like, you got to rely on yourself. Like,
right.
I got to.
Right.
You know.
Self-sufficiency.
Enough. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Self.
But at the same, I guess I'm struggling with this line of thinking, because it is wisdom to, as we're economy is progressing, like, to have extra food on hand and have, you know, money saved, you know, like, that's all wisdom, and God wants us to be prepared, and mm-hmm. he gives us a heads up of what's coming because he wants us to prepare. In our culture, like, you should be saving for your retirement, you know, unless you think you're going to work till you die, like, you're going to need money, you know?
And I'm just going to ask it in this strange way, because I hear what you're saying, and I've heard that. Is it wisdom? Like, so Joseph had his role, because Joseph is actually something I'm studying now. Joseph had his role. Were the people any less wise because they suffered the famine and had to come to Joseph? Did they lose anything?
The people helped him play it out. They're the ones who saved.
Right, but did they lose anything in the kingdom because they didn't have the extra? Right? Like, did, you know what I mean? Like, so Joseph was prepared, but they didn't not join the kingdom either because they weren't prepared.
Well, I would argue that Joseph, the way it was structured, the people didn't have the ability to save the amount of food that they would have needed, the volume of grain that they would have. So the government took over creating these huge storehouses so that the people could then, which would be similar to us saving for our retirement, we have a way to do it personally in accounts where you save 10%, 20%, whatever, for those years that will be lean. So we're doing it individually for ourselves, what in Joseph's day, the government stored for the people. But I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, people can be extreme. And that verse that I read about, you know, if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an unbeliever. Mm-hmm. People could take that to the extreme and say, I got to sock away money for my entire family. I can't be generous to other people because I have a responsibility to God to provide on to the nth degree from whatever that means, right? What does providing for your family mean?
Right. So here's the thing I think we
have
to. What
level of wealth are you talking?
Here's the thing I have to keep in mind. That's exactly where I was going to go with it. So if we are in a blessed position to save for our retirement, are we taking that resource seriously and turning it back to the Lord and saying, if I'm blessed enough to save for my retirement, am I able to give that number to the Lord and not lord over that number myself? Like, this is what I must have when I retire. That's number one. And number two, if I'm that blessed financially, am I making sure that I'm taking care of those people who do not have the ability to save for their retirement? Because there are plenty. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of people who will still have to work, who will be hungry, who will be without. And those people could use a leg up. Am I thinking also about them?
Right.
Or am I only thinking about myself?
Right.
If I can save, then I can give.
It's stewarding all your resources, you know, and even in your retirement, do you have an eye for how will I serve my community?
That's my point, that if your mind is towards how can this resource be turned back to God, I know that God wants me to take care of myself and my family. He's giving me this resource to do that, but I shouldn't only take care of myself.
Right.
I should also be taking care of those around me now. Okay, so the last bit I want to chat about is... I think you skimmed by it. You said idolatry. And I want to really lean into that because I think that it uses master language. Cheryl, would you read Matthew 6:24?
No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
I'd like to actually key in on that master language. You mentioned idolatry. Can you think of another place in the Bible where idolatry comes up? Don't overthink it. It's the one you're thinking.
When Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
I was
going to say. No, I know we've been doing deep dives, right. So you're probably looking for some obscure sin.
Yeah.
But no, it's the one you're thinking. We've run some parallels through the sermon on and the Ten Commandments. And I think it's, you know, in the early parts of the study, we talked about parallels between Jesus and Moses. I love to sit in all that because it just reminds us how cohesive the Bible is. But there's a lot of warning against idolatry in the Old Testament, of course, the commandments. And then we also still do have warnings against idolatry in the New Testament. And this is a really important light to shine on how we treasure things. So I'd like to have Kathy, would you read James 4:4? And then I'd like to hear you guys talk about when something becomes idolatrous, when it's fine and then when it's crossed over the line.
James 4:4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God.
What does that mean? And why did I bring that one, which doesn't say idols at all? What am I going for?
Well, being a friend of the world would be idolatrous. I mean, I know it's an expression. Again, it's a Christian expression that we use a lot, but it's loving things that the world loves that God does not love.
So we're supposed to be in the world, not of it, right? We live here, obviously. We have to be in here, but we don't have to be buddies. You don't have to be aligning.
We don't have to adopt those cultural expectations. Right. That's what we've been talking. We talked a lot about like cultural, counterculture, the homework says a lot about living in a counterculture way. In fact, in several weeks, I've put forth this, what I think a thesis of the sermon is, which is verse 6:8, which is in this week's study. Do not be like them. That covers it. Thank God he gave us more words to help us figure out what he means by them, how they're behaving we shouldn't, and what we should do instead. But that's the gist. So yes, friendship with the world. Tell me what you were thinking when I said treasures and you were like idolatry. Like, How does it become idolatrous?
When it's taken out of your hand because you haven't held it loosely, that you get angry or you despise or whatever. Like, so again, we have lots of things, but it depends what we, most often what happens when it's gone. And of course, all that time it's been fermenting and becoming an idol. It's the place that we trust. It's our resource. It takes away our trust from and our alliance with God. And he says, you can't have two masters, which means you have to choose. And almost everything we have to do in life, we have to choose. Am I going this road or am I going this road?
That's right.
And one road leads to life and the other one also, I mean, leads to death, choking out any life of the spirit in us.
Yes. Perfect. There's so much material stuff that can become idolatrous. So much. Anything. Anything could. It could be a tiny little thing that nobody even knows I have. But I just cherish it too much. Okay, what are some deeper things that can become idolatrous? I'm going to just throw out a big one. Motherhood. The mothering well, the ideal of motherhood. If I focus on that, if I look at my children as my products, I am putting my mothering first and my control of it and my wisdom and not looking to the left or the right, listening to other people around me, but I have hyper focused on that. And now that is in the way between me and God. So that's how I often think about it. And so what am I elevating? What are some other things that we can elevate that we are treasuring and not turning as a resource toward the Lord? It's easy to see the stuff that's obviously bad.
Isn't me, but exercise can be that for some people. Mm-hmm. I do know a couple of people who, like, they'll do their workout, but they might not pray, not read their Bible,
right,
but they'll get that workout in
right. Yeah. Prioritizing a practice of anything. Mm-hmm. Okay, then work.
Career achievement.
Work can absolutely be an idolatrous thing that all my energy is going towards my ambition instead of my spiritual health.
Pleasure. Again, being retired, it's that now I have earned my free time. I should be able to relax. I should be able to do whatever I have earned, whether it's kayaking or being outside all the time. And that was an actual personal obstacle because I waited. You wait for that. That's what they tell you to wait for. And then I'm like, God says, absolutely not.
Yeah.
You're not dead. Everything
time is
still belongs
mine.
To me.
Yeah, that's so good.
For me, I don't necessarily have a name for it, but a level of superiority, right? So like, I want to be the best in anything I do.
Ooh.
So if I'm not the best, then I'm just not going to do it. I mean, I'm getting out of that.
I love that you are being transparent about that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. And it's true. That happens a lot in academia.
Yeah.
Like, I'm smart. That's my idolatry, is my intellect. No, I'll be honest. I definitely had that problem. I probably still struggle with it more than I realize, but I had a massive brain problem a couple years ago. Big injury to my brain, and that was taken from me. Mm-hmm. Any parting thoughts?
Even in this section, this one, just one last comment. After I read this very last treasures thing, I kind of was like, I'm in this place right now where I think, I'm like, everything connects. You can go all the way back.
It does.
And so connecting this entire section from what I saw is you can't serve the Lord and the world, right? So in every single thing, it's you can't serve both good and bad. We have to make a choice. And like you said, we have to either go towards God or we're going away from God. And so we have to make one choice or the other.
Mm-hmm. When you have a little bit of both, you actually have nothing.
Right,
nope,
I just want to step a little bit over that line. And it's not. You're turning completely away from God and prohibiting, blocking him from doing what he wants to do inside of you.
And that's not for our good.
No.
In the end, it's not for our good.
Thanks again for joining us today on Study with Friends. We hope that you've found some deep truths that will strengthen your walk with Jesus. We here at Study with Friends are modeled more like a small group, and we encourage you to find one through your local church. Make sure to find a church where the Bible is taught in every situation. Study with Friends is a completely donor-supported organization. If you've been blessed by our ministry, would you consider donating? Monthly partnerships are particularly helpful, but no amount is too small. We also love to hear from you. You can stay connected on all the major social media platforms or by email. You can find links to all of these on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you've missed any episodes and are out on the go, be sure to catch the ladies on any of your favorite streaming platforms. Or you can catch the ladies via video on YouTube. We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time when we study with friends.